Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey.
Built by Bar Lumber. Go where the builders go.
When it comes to big or small projects around the home, Tony and Corey have the know-how and the answers to make your life just a bit easier. Here they are, the hosts of Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome to the Home Improvement Show, or the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. So, I'm home alone today. Tony's off doing inventory at his beautiful new store in Newburgh, Oregon.
He's playing hooky.
He is playing hooky.
Inventory, what's that?
I'm sure he's listening right now, and he's like, this is very important. This is a very important business aspect. Whatever, Tony.
He's a professional.
Yeah.
You are two people today, Corey.
I am, but I have a couple people in the studio with me because I'm just going to say this, that the weekend warrior mentality is that we do everything. We build things, we fix up our house and all of that, but there comes a point where we have to decorate that house. And when you put down that all brand new hardwood floor in your house and realize that it looks naked, the first thing you want to do is put a rug down. So I think a lot of people are very interested in maybe a little bit more about rugs. So I've got a professional. His name is Randy with Renaissance. Probably not the Randy you're thinking of, but Randy with Renaissance Rug Cleaning?
That's correct.
That is correct. Okay, a little bit closer.
Is that better?
That's better. So Randy is a professional rug. You're a rug expert.
I'm a rug expert. I'm a cleaner and restorer of Oriental rugs and related textiles.
So I have lots and lots of questions about this because all of my rugs came from Costco. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And the kind of rugs that you're talking about or we're going to be talking about today are not your typical, you know, flip through the rack at Home Depot and bring home a rug. These are...
No, typically these are hand-woven rugs made in a variety of different countries, from Morocco to China. We have Turkey and Iran are some of the top manufacturers and exporters of rugs. I'll throw India in as well.
So these things are hand-made.
Hand-woven.
Hand-woven. Okay, so that leads me to my first question, because okay. We were talking about this a little earlier at breakfast, and I actually have somebody else in the studio here, Larry, who knows a thing or two about rugs.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Maybe a little closer.
Okay, like this. All right. Randy knows a whole lot more than I do, though.
Well, I think you know more than you're leading on to.
He's being coy.
Well, I think that the one issue that needs to be covered, and we talked about this morning, is handmade and hand-woven. What's the difference?
Right. We were talking about that, and I said, well, you know what, blah, 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 you know, handmade. And you said, well, there's a big difference between handmade and hand-woven rugs.
There is a big difference. A handmade rug would include hand-woven rugs or rugs that are hand-tufted. Now, hand-tufting is a process by using a tufting gun into a cotton cloth material. And the rug isn't really hand-woven in that in a hand-woven process, a person actually ties every individual knot in an Oriental rug by hand. And a hand-tufted process is a much quicker process, but it results in a product that is not nearly as durable as a hand-woven rug.
And why is that?
Well, part of it is that after they hand-tuft a rug, they need to put adhesive on the back to hold those tufts into the foundation material. And that adhesive will break down over time. It's not as durable or as stable as a hand-woven rug, a true woven rug.
Interesting. So just to kind of back up a little bit, we're talking about expensive, you know, not your run-of-the-mill $200 area rug.
Generally,
we're talking about nice, nice rugs, an investment rug. And for me, because I am kind of a newbie in this world, in the world of rugs, the pricing structure on this thing, because we were talking about this morning, I said, what would a good rug cost me? I mean, are we talking $500 or are we talking $50,000? Yes. And I think you had a good, you said anywhere in between.
Exactly. There's a lot of variables that go into pricing on a hand-woven oriental rug. And some of those will be the wool quality, the knot count per square inch, whether the rug uses hand-spun wool or machine-spun wool, whether the dyes are natural dyes or synthetic dyes. There are a lot of processes in the weave that are used in weaving and manufacturing of an oriental rug that cut costs. And when they cut costs, generally that lends to a lower price point. You can find oriental rugs that are a high knot count rug that are actually less expensive than a coarser rug. And that's due to the fact that when wool is hand spun versus machine spun, it takes more labor. And that drives the labor cost up.
Gotcha.
The same is true with dyes. Synthetic dyes are less expensive than natural dyes, dyes derived from plants and insects that are used in weaving. So those variables can have, you can see two rugs that are different rugs that'll have the same or different price points. So it can be confusing.
So, well, let me ask you this. Well, what's the biggest difference between natural dye and synthetic dye? I mean, I know the difference, but when you're pricing it out, I mean, I realize it takes more time and effort to produce a natural dye, so I could see that being more expensive, but is there a benefit?
There's an aesthetic appeal to natural dyes versus synthetic dyes, and in the past 20 years, that's kind of been blurred a little bit because they've come up with processes to try and mimic some of the original look that you got, that people originally had with natural dyes that you didn't achieve with synthetic dyes. But there are people that just seek out natural dyes versus synthetic dyes as a matter of principle, viewing them as more environmentally friendly.
Purist.
Yeah, yeah. So that happens. A long time ago, around the turn of the century, most synthetic dyes were not stable, so they would fade. When the rugs were washed, they would bleed. Today, that's been cured. The synthetic dyes are actually quite good. And some people will actually argue that some of the synthetic dyes are better than some of the natural dyes even.
Interesting.
So there's a debate that rages in the rug community regarding that.
Because, I mean, I talk about this because there's things out there that when you equate handmade with natural dyes and it's hand-woven, there's a luxurious factor to that.
Sure.
But does it necessarily make it better?
Not necessarily. Some of the natural dyes that are used in rugs need a little bit special care. Some of the cleaning products that are used can be detrimental to the rug, so you have to be careful with them. With modern synthetic dyes, they're a type of dye called a chrome-based mordant dye. Nobody really needs to know that, but I just thought I'd throw that out there so I sound special. They're very stable. The synthetic dyes are very stable. And so there isn't really a problem with them in washing these dyes or using them. So there's not a huge difference anymore. It's esoteric.
Interesting. Man, there is so much about rugs that I don't know. When we get back from the break, we have to take a break. I don't know. That music kind of brings it out. But I've got so many more questions for you.
Okay.
Hang loose or hang tight. Whatever you want to do, you'll listen to, well, Randy and Corey, your Weekend Warriors on AM860.
Listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I just want to say that you're not only listening on AM 860. I did screw that up. We are on several stations in the Pacific Northwest, and Tony Cookston, my cohort, thought he would call in and make fun of me.
I got to admit, I saw an opportunity there when I heard you plug KPAM, which is one of the stations that broadcast our show.
It's one of the 12.
Yeah, one of the 12 stations that broadcast our show. I thought I wanted to just take a moment and call in especially since Larry Anderson, our promoter, is sitting across from you, probably biting his tongue as we speak. I thought we might take an opportunity to also mention the stations that we can be heard on at the Oregon coast, in Astoria, Newport, Coos Bay, Warrington, Lincoln City. There's a bunch there. And all along the I-5 corridor, Longview, Washington, the Kelso area, Eugene and Springfield area, and also Medford, Ashland. So there's a bunch of stations that we're heard on, and AM 860, of course, in the Portland, Vancouver area is one of them. And we're just really glad to be able to be involved in all that stuff. And I just wanted to call and share that.
Thanks, Tony.
Because it was on my heart. Good morning, Corey. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How's the counting going in Newburgh?
Good. We're about halfway through. And as you know, this is indeed very important. So it's the only kind of a thing that would take me away from the radio, because I love to be on the radio with you guys.
But very important. Well, let me ask you this. Have you been listening to about rugs, right?
I have been listening to I love the show so far. And I'll tell you what, I have several rugs in my house, and I haven't paid more than $30 for any one of them.
I'm in the same boat.
You might call me a thrifty rug shopper, but I'll tell you what, as I hear more about what you guys are saying on the radio about rugs, I'm intrigued more, and I'm thinking to myself, my bare toes might like a $2,000 rug even more than they like a $25 rug.
Well, one of the things, you know, talking with Randy this morning, we met for breakfast. One of the things that I realize is that I buy cheap rugs. I think probably the most I've ever spent on a rug is $300.
You're that guy.
I am that guy, but I buy it. I wear it out. I throw it away. I buy another one. I wear it out. I throw it away. What is the difference? Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you buy a good, high-quality rug that you said, they literally last forever? They last 3 and 4 generations as long as you take care of them and you get them cleaned properly, which we'll be talking about later.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to comment, too, really quickly. I have something that is very special to me because it was handed down to me from my mom and dad. When my mom and dad, when my mom and dad were younger, my dad was in the military, so they traveled around a lot. He was stationed in Turkey. Okay, of all places. And when they were in Turkey, they bought what they were told was a hand-woven rug. And they loved that rug. It's got a beautiful depiction of, you know, some guys on horses doing something that they probably shouldn't have been doing. And I have this rug now, and as I look at it, I wonder, how would a guy determine if a rug that he has more value than he even knows? Are there certain things about the rug that you could look at, Randy, and say, you know, wow, this is a nice rug?
Well, that's with Oriental rugs, that takes time and experience in studying rugs. The easiest answer for somebody that doesn't know much about rugs is take it to an expert. Take it to a rug store or take it to a cleaner like me that has spent 20-plus years in the rug business that knows rugs. And we can guide you through it. We can tell you what it is, give you an idea what the age is, value, all those kinds of things.
Wow, that would be awesome. I'm going to have to do that because I think that it would be interesting to know, you know, maybe a little history on that rug. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, and for poor people like me and Tony who don't have a house full of $1,000 rugs, maybe we have inherited one from a relative. And like I said, we'll be talking about how to take care of the rugs later on in the show, but this first half, we're kind of focusing on what to look for when, say, what's the difference between a $300 rug and a $5,000 rug and maybe a $50,000 rug?
Well, what's that benefit?
The first thing to start with is a decent Oriental rug is going to be wool. Some of the higher-end rugs are going to be silk or woolen silk, but for, you know, all intents and purposes, most Oriental rugs are going to be made out of wool and have a wool pile.
Silk?
Yes.
So would that be like the highest of high, like the best of the best?
Typically. They're fairly expensive. However, you run into these little issues in the rug business, which is we often find rugs sold as silk that are not silk. They're either cotton, a specific type of cotton called mercerized cotton, which is cotton treated with an alkali so that it looks and feels like silk, or rayon, which is a wood product, a synthesized wood product that looks and feels like silk. But
that's
isn't.
Like my sateen sheets.
Exactly. So people are sold a silk rug that isn't really a silk rug. So, you know, it's buyer beware. It's very common when people buy rugs in other countries. They're thinking that they're getting a great deal on a real silk rug, and it's not. So it's really important to be careful and to seek out knowledgeable dealers and respectable dealers when buying Oriental rugs.
Okay, so the typically what you're looking for is a wool hand-knotted rug.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So what else? I mean, what else makes for a very good rug?
Well, wool quality is extremely important. There are a variety of different types or breeds of wool that are used in Oriental rugs. The traditional old breeds through the 20th century fell out of favor. Those are breeds, old primitive breeds like Caracal and Kierman sheep. And what was favored were more modern breeds like Merino because they were very consistent and even, both in spinning as well as in the dyeing process. The old primitive breeds had a lot of striations and pigment in the wool and wouldn't take dye evenly. So in old rugs, you would end up with variances in the color of the rug, which we refer to in the trade as abrash. So you would look at the rug and you would see light and dark areas of the same color. So like a red would go from light red to dark red and back to light red again. And a lot of those striations are caused because the wool wasn't consistent and even. It comes off the animal anywhere from white to a beige or a brown color, and those will take unevenly. So through the 20th century, those were phased out in favor of wools that were uniform and even. But those old primitive breeds of wool were coarser and would wear better than a lot of the modern breeds that were used in rug production. So in the latter part of the 20th century, what happened is a few rug producers went back to these old primitive breeds and started using them. And so those breeds have come back into favor again. And you want to look for rugs that have, what I'm alluding to is you really want to look for rugs that have wool that is of a rug quality wool, not a garment quality wool. The old primitive breeds of wool are that.
Not your wool sweater you picked up at
exactly
at the store.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So that's the first thing that leads to a quality aspect of a good Oriental rug. A lot of people get hooked up on the knots per square inch in a rug, that's a determining factor of quality.
A thread count in a sheet.
Yeah, and it does account for something. And when you're buying a fine workshop rug, you can get knots into the 400 knots per square inch.
Wow. All right, well, I have so many more questions about this. Hey, Tony, you going to hang in there? Guess not. All right. Hang loose. You're listening to Randy and Corey this morning. Your Weekend Warriors.